They brought him to me bloodied and beaten to a pulp, 3 days before the Night of Lights. Being battered black and blue after a fight came with the territory for an Amuro, even one as good as Yuzuki Oren. Not once in the past, however, had he ended up unresponsive in my treatment room. My stomach plummeted at the sight of two guards hauling him between them like a sack of coal. Was the dread that had haunted my dreams about to transpire? Careful not to unmask my fear, I schooled my features. Here. I ushered the men to the exam table, erected in the middle of my study for easy access. I did my best not to wince when Yu's limp body landed on top of the linen-dressed surface with a dull thump. I got to him in two leaps and busied myself with arranging him in a recovery position. Placing two fingers on the inside of his wrist, I took his pulse. It felt thready and rapid, but it was there. I observed his chest rising and falling in shallow but regular breaths. Having seen no evidence of a collapsed lung or any blockage in his airways, I sighed with relief. The blood caking his body, part dried, part fresh, prevented me from fully determining the damage. I ordered the men to step back and allow me room to work. The next moment, I snatched my emergency kit from the side cabinet and prepared a basin of fresh water, dampening a soft muslin washcloth in it. Having settled Yu onto his back with speed and care, I proceeded to clean the skin of the wounded man. Not just any man, but the one I loved. The scanty outfit of a pit fighter, consisting of a simple loincloth, allowed me to get on with my task right away. Taking stock of his injuries, as the sweeping movements of my hands uncovered more and more scrapes, cuts, and contusions. Yu was as tough as they came, the toughest. I would know, having treated him and other prized combatants of the Liling Fighting House for over 3 years. If his body shut down, going into shock from blood loss and pain, both must have been significant. Two water changes later, I had completed my assessment. To start with, some anesthesia wouldn't go amiss. Fuck me sideways if I let you suffer a moment beyond that point. I rummaged through the items in my first response kit and fished out a ball of red yarn. I doubled the thread around Yu's wrist, fashioning a bracelet out of it. One hand on the cord, I placed the other on the jade crystal that hung from my neck. I forced my mind to relax and drew a generous amount of magic from my source stone, far greater than I would have been willing to extract under any other circumstances. A familiar rush of elation made me shiver from head to toe, goosebumps erupting on the nape of my neck as the crystal heated under my fingertips. I focused on the bracelet this time, channeling the stream of energy into the yarn to charge its fibers. They stiffened and crackled, spitting tiny purple sparks all over my fingers. When the thread softened and slackened again, I let go of my jade necklace. I began tying three intricate knots on the bracelet while murmuring incantations. I filled each ligature with a slow-releasing spell, pain relief, infection suppressant, and healing stimulant. Beads of perspiration formed on my forehead by the time I'd finished. Only then did I get down to business. The laceration on the outer part of Yu's brow ridge took precedence, not so much due to its severity, but because it kept bleeding in ghastly streaks all over his eye and cheek. Despite their dramatic appearance, cuts to the bony prominence of the head were common amongst Amuros and often superficial. The spectators, of course, loved the gory blood spurting on everyone inside the ring. Afterwards, they left the arena with the satisfied conviction they'd got their silver's worth.